Accession number 27801. This is Margaret Lee's Reel 3. Now, we got to the point, you'd been working at the British restaurant and doing this kind of voluntary work at the town hall in Wells from January to May 1942. Now, and then in May you go to start your training with the Wrens.
The Wrens, yes.
Now, where'd you go first? What happened?
Well, I went up to London, and at first I went round to St Mary's to see if any of my old friends were free, and some of them were off duty, so two of them said they'd come with me. And we went off to New College, which was Hampstead, somewhere like that, yes. And we arrived at the door, and bear in mind that I thought everybody who employed you would be as fierce as the sisters had been in hospital. I opened the door, and inside was a petty officer, Wren, quite a big lady, and a girl who dropped a bucket of water as we arrived there, and she was really torn off a strip, and I thought, heavens, they're going to be as bad as the sisters were. And these friends of mine thought it was so funny, and they just pushed me in, and they went off laughing and left me there. Well, that was the last time I ever saw anybody told off. I think it was such a pleasant experience being in the Wrens.
Now, what uni were you equipped with a uniform?
Once we weren't equipped with a uniform. Probably we were warned we wouldn't be. I don't remember. But, of course, clothes have been rationed for some time now, so we shouldn't wear out our clothes or anything. But we were not equipped with a uniform, but we had to do all the housework and everything. Well, that was all right. But then the King of Norway came to inspect us. Wonderful-looking man.
Just King Haakon.
Yes, that's right. And we were issued with navy blue overalls, which were called glamour gowns. Those sort of serge things. And, of course, they didn't fit us at all. So we quickly pinned them, tacked them, did anything we could to make them fit us for this parade. And we had a parade in the yard behind the building. And the girls who'd been there for a while had their uniforms, and they all paraded in front, and we were at the back in our glamour gowns. And the king came out on the top of what must have been the fire escape, looking every inch the king in naval uniform. And he tripped. I thought he was going to fall down the stairs, but he didn't. Anyway, he came down and he inspected. And then, within my hearing, he said to the Wren officer, "Why are these girls dressed differently?" And she said, "Oh, we give them those overalls to protect their clothing while they're here." And I wanted to step forward and say, "That's a barefaced lie. We're wearing out our clothes while we're here." Anyway, when he'd gone, the glamour gowns were taken away from us again until we did get our uniform. Now, I don't remember how long it took, but eventually we, after lectures and so on and so forth, we had our uniforms and we swore allegiance to the king. Was it king then? Yes. Swore allegiance to the king.
Now, what sort of training were you getting at New College? I know you're a bit vague on this.
Very vague indeed. So much has happened in my life since then. I really can't remember. I just remember that.
How were you getting on with the girls? I know you remember that because there's a friend of yours, Jean, your special friend, who was a bit of a character. What was she like?
Jean was very glamorous. She'd worked for Harrods before the war. She was very glamorous, very nice person. And she said to me one day, "Can I be your friend?" And from then on, we were friends. And I can't remember if it could, all these places we lived in were so overcrowded that somewhere along the way, and I don't think it was there, but somewhere along the way, we used to have to wash. We used to have to queue up for a basin across the landing and into the bathroom while somebody was in the bath, having a bath, and Jean had a red dress. And she used to step into the bath and then pull off this dress. There was nothing on underneath. And it was most extraordinary. The only place you could be alone was in the lavatory, I tell you. We didn't mind. It's all good fun.
Now, any other friends you made there? Were they all generally friendly?
Oh, they were all friendly. They were all very nice indeed, but obviously you got your special friends. Later on, Jean and I were joined by somebody called Mac. They're both dead now. So, but we did stay friends.
Now, how long were you there about?
A few weeks. I'm sorry I'm so vague about
it. No, it's a long time ago. Isn't it?
It is a long time ago.
Now, what were the circumstances of you leaving there?
Well, then, while you were there, you chose your category.
Now, you were meant to be a projectionist.
I was meant to be a projectionist, yes, but a lady called First Officer Canali, now I never came across her again, but I thought I really would like to have known her. She really looked like a remarkable lady. She was sent round to interview some of us. Now, how we were chosen, I don't know, but she interviewed us separately, and I don't know what she said to the others, but she told me there was this very, very secret work which we would not be allowed to talk about at all, and would I be interested in doing that? Well, she made it sound quite the sort of thing I would like, so I said yes, I would. So then I was committed to what I didn't know. I had no idea what it was, and Jean also said she would, and so that was our category. And we didn't have in the Navy you have a category badge, but we didn't have one ever. So eventually we finished at New College and we went off to where we were going to be stationed. We were gathered, those of us who were going to wherever it was, which we didn't know, we were gathered together, and the oldest one amongst us, who was supposed to be the most responsible, I suppose, was given our tickets. And she was told that she mustn't tell us where we were going. I mean, it's all so ridiculous. So we all went to... I forget the name of which station it is for crew. Houston Station. We all went to Houston Station. And, of course, there weren't many porters in those days. There were porters, and they're mostly older people. And we had all our luggage with us, and the porter was saying, where do you want us to take us? And we were saying, we don't know. And they were laughing, saying, the Wrens don't know where they're going. And Betty, who had our tickets, had disappeared off to the ladies' room, so we couldn't have any help from her, and we stood around. Eventually she came and she ushered us all onto a platform. She still wouldn't tell us where we were going. So we went to the engine driver and said, where were we going? And he said, Bletchley. Now, can you imagine? We joined the Navy to see the sailors and to be near the sea. But here we were going to Bletchley. So we went there, and I suppose we were collected from the station there and taken off to a place called Crawley Grange, the most beautiful old house.
Now, what was your accommodation like there?
Completely overcrowded. In fact, I think it was probably there where we had to queue up for the bathroom. And we had, not only were the rooms full of beds, but they had beds on top of them too, two-tier beds, completely. And then I got a something on my leg that was very sore, so I went to Sister, and she said she'd poultice it. Oh, I think she did poultice it, which was completely wrong thing to do, and then we had some leave, and I went home. My mother, who'd never seen it before, said, that's ringworm. So, I wasn't allowed to go back again, and of course, typical wartime, my friends weren't allowed to know why I hadn't come back. My bedding was all taken and fumigated. Until they heard from me, they had no idea why. And of course, they all took their first exams. Of course, I haven't got on to actual job yet.
No.
And I was way behind, but Jean, bless her, asked to stay behind. So I was with Jean again.
Now, what was going on then? What were you actually? You were at Crawley Grange.
Crawley Grange.
That's near Bletchley Park, is it? Or
yes, I can't remember how many miles. It's a coaches used to come, you know.
And what about what time of year was this? 43 or 42?
This is 42.
Still in 42.
Yes, and we weren't long in New College.
Summer?
Spring, getting on for summer. I suppose, yes, summer. Yes.
Now, what happened when you got to... So you got to Crawley Grange, you don't know what's going on. So what happens when you get there?
I don't remember, but I do remember our first introduction to Bletchley Park.
That was just your living accommodation?
That was just our living accommodation.
So what happened, what was your first introduction to Bletchley Park then?
And then, must have been coaches came and took us to Bletchley Park. And I remember thinking Jean wasn't at all nervous, but again I thought everyone was going to be like a ward sister. And when we got there, dying of curiosity because we didn't know what we were going to be doing, we were taken into our hearts. And I only remember the inside of it, and we were told that we were going to break the German code that nobody knew had been broken, and we were shown the actual machine they relayed it on, and it was explained to us. And of course at some stage along the way we had to sign the Official Secrets Act, and I didn't talk about it. My family never knew what I did, and my sister was the last one to die, and she must have died in about 1972 or something. They never knew what I did.
So you were, the necessity for secrecy was well and truly...
Oh, absolutely. And not only secrecy, but really I suppose they taught one how to be secret. If you were in a crowd of people and they were talking about something, you knew about it. You know, people tend to go secretive and say, well, I know something, or give the impression they do, but no, none of that. You simply didn't. In fact, my father used to fish a bit sometimes, I think, but I don't think he ever got any inkling from me whatsoever. No.
Now, so you were introduced to the fact you were going to be on, well, that there was a code-breaking role there, but what were you going to do?
Well, we were going to work the great big things called bombs, which were the big machines.
Bombs?
Bombs. They were called bombs.
Now, how do you work them? Tell us about it. Or do you not remember really now?
I remember what they were. They were huge machines with drums on. I think it was three rows of drums. Which all had letters around them, and they turned, you fed in, I can't remember, I think you fed in whatever information you were given, and then you turned the thing on, these drums turned, and when they stopped, you had to go through each drum and make sure that all the little contacts at the back were as they should be. Had it stopped because a contact wasn't working, or had it stopped because you had got onto the right setting. And if it had stopped because they had what they wanted, you used to read off three of them and phone it through to hut something else. Now, I'm sorry, but I really cannot remember. It's funny, if you've done something over 60 years ago for a year, and then you haven't been allowed to talk about it for years and years and years, so if you've never recapped, you don't really remember, and lots happened to me in my life.
That's understandable.
Well, I tell you one thing, though. Whenever you see anything on television, they always say we were all Debs. I do assure you, we were not.
Now, so what was your sort of typical day's work like?
In watches, and they were a bit odd. We used to work... Of course, there was nothing to do there except go around the countryside. And we moved from that quarters to... Well, tell you where we moved.
Walton
to.
Hall?
Yes, Walton Hall, which is now the Open University.
What was a typical day like? What typical day's work?
We just went in. These huts, I might tell you, you couldn't look out and nobody could look in. We would be taken by transport to Bletchley Park. You get out and you go into the hut and you would work these machines. And then you would come home again. And if you were on night duty, I had a meal of some sort at some time. That don't remember. I know one place. It wasn't always in Bletchley. One place, they had another hut, and there we used to go over to the quarters and get our own meal. And the place was alive with cockroaches, which nobody seemed to mind. No, I know. But
so you just work on these machines.
We work
on
these machines.
Did you have any idea what was going on?
Yes, we are told now we had no idea. We did, and there was one man who decided that if we knew what we were doing, we were more likely to keep quiet about it. And I remember him on two occasions taking us off into a private room and telling us about codes that had been broken, made it interesting.
Would you remember his name?
No.
Probably. But he told you what the codes were.
He told us past things that had happened. We used to phone through these numbers, and if everything matched up and so on and so forth, they'd ring back and tell us we'd broken the code, and that was terribly exciting, because although we didn't know exactly what code we'd broken or anything, we knew that it was one more nail in their coffin.
But for you, there was nothing you could understand was going on.
No.
Now, how long were you doing this for? Or does anything happen? Or do you meet any of the famous? Well, I can't remember the names.
We were just in this hut, and that was it. I mean, the place was fairly segmented, I think, even amongst us. They had a home guard, which was very entertaining to watch, because they were chosen for brains, not beauty. And I remember one was well over 6 feet and one must have been under 5 feet, and they used to parade. And we had a huge place where we used to eat. That's right, that's where we used to eat. A huge place just outside the main gate where we used to eat. And honestly, it was such an odd-looking lot that there was one man we used to say, we called him the man. And when he would come in, we'd say, the man's come in. And I saw on television not long ago one naval officer who certainly didn't look odd, and he was chosen to be there because the word for people who break codes is similar to the word for people who study insects under rocks or something. And I remember we must have had a dance, because I remember dancing with him, and he told me that's why he'd been chosen. And I saw him on television not terribly long ago telling the same story. No, we didn't really meet them a lot, hardly at all, no. But so I certainly didn't meet any of these famous people, no.
Now, what about recreation? So, how did your shift pattern work? Did you have time off?
We used to work watches, which didn't give us much time for anything except sleeping and eating, and then we'd have 3 days or 4 days or something off to go to London. I don't mean to go to London. We used to head for London. And in London during the war, the WVS, I think, certainly some voluntary service, ran hostels where you could stay for, I think it was 2 and 6 pence a night, which is what, I don't know what that is in new money, about 20 pence. Something like that, a night. And we used to go there, and the theatres used to give free tickets. We could either pick them up there, we'd see them displayed on the notice board, or we'd go to a booth in Trafalgar Square where they gave out free tickets. And we used to go dancing, we used to go to the... I know the Royal Opera House was one place, there was another theatre.
Hammersmith Palais?
Oh, yes, but that wasn't theatre. It was to go out to the Hammersmith Palais to dance, where they had brilliant bands. But when I was in England, we weren't jitterbugging. That came in just as I was leaving. Wasn't any good at it anyway. I was ballroom dancing. And it seems funny. See, I remember crossing Hyde Park once, I think probably after one of these dances with my latest boyfriend, and towards Marble Arch, we fell into some trenches, which had been built, as I suppose, for people in air raids. And of course, there was no lighting, was there? So we fell into them. And we sat on the edge of the pavement of Marble Arch and emptied the mud out of our shoes. It's incredible when you think about it.
So what happens next then? How long were you there? You weren't there that long, were you?
Bletchley Park, I was there about a year, I suppose, but towards the end of 42, they asked for volunteers for overseas, which really had not expected, because it was such a secret thing. I didn't think they'd let us go, and my aim had always been to go overseas if I could.
Now why? What?
Well, goodness, I was young. It's a way of going overseas, wasn't it?
So you volunteered at the back end of 43, and what happened then?
Had an interview and was accepted, unfortunately. By then we were friends with Mac as well.
Now who's Mac?
There was Jean and there was Mac. The three of us used to go around together. Yes. And Mac volunteered. Jean didn't. But Mac volunteered also, but because she had one brother and he was missing in Burma, they wouldn't take her. They thought it was too hard on her widowed mother. But they took me, and I went off on a weekend leave and got myself engaged and came back and was told I'd been chosen for going overseas. Now, there was a big decision, wasn't it? So anyway, I really wanted to go. So we were kind of segregated from the others. We were sent to a different rent's quarters, those of us who'd been chosen.
Did you stay engaged?
I did for a while.
Because people often decide to break if they're sent abroad, or
did eventually, because it really wasn't very sensible. No, and he tried to be stationed where I was, but of course, naturally, he was stationed somewhere else, and he was killed then. So, it's the end of that.
Now, so what happened? You were segregated from the others.
Yeah, well, that sounds fierce, but we were separated from the others, and we were sent to a different Wren's quarters. Where we were given lectures and things about being overseas. And, of course, we didn't quite know what we were going to do overseas, because they weren't going to be breaking the German code. In fact, we broke the Japanese code. But that really, we really didn't know what was going on.
That's what you would be doing.
Yes, that's what we would be doing, yes. But we were in these Wren's quarters, and we had all these lectures and things, lectures from the doctors and lectures from here and there and everywhere. And then eventually the day came when we were going. And we were each allowed 100 weight. Oh, we were given coupons. The Wrens were not issued with underwear. We were given clothing coupons. And when we went overseas, we were given extra ones and were told we needed an evening dress, which pleased us. And of course, advised to have cotton underwear, and I don't suppose they gave us a lot of clothing coupons, they did. And I went to Jollies of Bath, who were absolutely wonderful, because it was winter, but they got some of their summer things out for me, and they made me an evening dress. And for ages afterwards, my mother used to get inquiries from them as how I was getting on. And we were allowed 100 weight of luggage each, and it had to be in things we could carry ourselves. And the Wren officer who was in charge of that quarters was all patriotic. Was whoever it was rang up and said, when did she want transport for us? And she said, my Wrens can manage. But it was miles to the station, and we each had about 3 suitcases, and we couldn't believe it. In the end, she managed to get some transport together. And that morning, she had her makeup put on rather strangely, and she was crying. And it isn't until recent years that I realised perhaps she had had some bad news. We thought this is how she was saying goodbye to us. And so we went off with the Wren officer standing there with funny makeup on, crying. And we thought it was hilariously funny, of course. And we were taken to King's Cross, I think, and put on a troop train. No, we weren't. No, we weren't. First of all, we were taken to London. And there's a place just off Piccadilly Circus called Golden Square. And there's a there was a hospital there, which obviously wasn't being a hospital at that time. And we were put in there to await going overseas. Now, my mother came to London. They made no fuss. My parents made no fuss about any of this at all. It wasn't the way, was it? But she did come to London to be near me. But, of course, I was engaged by then. I was young and thoughtless. I really don't think I was all that pleased that she'd come to London. So eventually, oh yes, the one thing was, well, it was lovely having her there in many ways, but she was staying in a hotel. And in this place, there were no plugs in the bath, no plugs in the basin either. What a waste of hot water. So we couldn't really bath, and you couldn't go out and buy things like that. So I used to love going round to her and having a bath. And of course, in the hotels then, they had a mark on the bath. You weren't supposed to have the water any deeper than the mark, to save fuel and water and things. So I used to bath there. And then, poor darling, she eventually said, look, I do realise you have other things to do. So she gave me a lot of postcards and said, will you post one each day? And the day I don't get one, be the day I know you've gone. So that's what I did. And it makes me quite tearful now when I think about it, being a mother myself now.
So what happened next then?
So then one day they got us all together and they said we were going at night. And we had to be absolutely silent when we left the place because nobody was know that we were going. And they issued us with packets of sandwiches for the journey. And we knew it must be a long way because they put in fruitcake and things like that, which we didn't normally have. And so then they sent coaches. There were 300 of us. They sent coaches, not 300 from Bletchley Park, 300 Wrens altogether. And the only ones who knew where they were going, I did know this time, were the girls from Bletchley Park. And we had been told that if we were captured, the Germans would do everything they could to get our secret out of us. And we thought it'd be wonderful to be tortured and we'd be so brave and everything. We must have been brainless. Anyway, we all got together, and in the evening, it was dark. We were put onto these coaches and we crept onto them like mice. And then we drove out into Piccadilly Circus on our way to goodness knows where. And everybody was shouting, good luck. They obviously knew we were going somewhere. It was also ridiculous. And we went to King's Cross, I think it was. And there was a troop train there. And we found there that we were under the command of the army, which we didn't like. And we put into carriages, the old-fashioned carriages, and there were three to a seat, so we couldn't lie down, but it was reasonably comfortable, I suppose. And off we went. And I don't know what stage we knew we were going up north. We decided we must be going to the Clyde. So we kept going until early in the morning. We stopped at Carlisle. And I suppose they told it was Carlisle because, of course, stations didn't have names on them in those days.
And must have been pretty uncomfortable, the journey.
Yes, but we were young. We managed. I mean, I haven't forgotten it, but it was all right. And at Carlisle, I've had more uncomfortable things than that happen to me. At Carlisle, we all got out and got ourselves a mug of tea. And something more to eat, I think, sandwiches or something. And all the soldiers and everybody got out and did the same. And then on we went up to the Clyde. And all the way up, the Scots were turning out and waving to us. Lovely.